Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Woohoo! Yeah! Oh, praise the Lord, folks. Good singing this morning, and what a blessing it is to experience His love. Amen?
Amen.
That love will heal the vilest sinner. Amen. It will heal emotional wounds and scars. It will make a human being whole. The love of Jesus. Isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful? And I love that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down around verse 18. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." It constrains us to love Him back. Once you've been touched by that love of the Savior, you'll never be the same.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our Bibles at this time, and we'll put our hymnals away for a little bit. Open up to John's Gospel this morning, please. Wonderful time celebrating, commemorating the Lord's table this morning as well. We so appreciate the Lord's table service and all that He's done for us, how He loves us. But John chapter 4 this morning, my favorite gospel, as you know. In John chapter 4, now you ladies know that, you know, the gals, you know, you get in behind your mirror and you brush your hair and you put a little makeup. And why? You want to get just the right look, right? You want to get just the right look. Well, I want to preach a message this morning that I've entitled, Just the Right Look. Just the Right Look. Jesus here, in John chapter 4, has just won a precious soul to Himself, the woman of Samaria, right? She goes out and tells everybody she can find, "Jesus saved me." Isn't that good? And look at verse 27. In verse 27, "Upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman." She was a Samaritan, "And yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?' Or, 'Why talkest thou with her?'" Well, I got news for you, church. Jesus had a purpose for talking to her. She had an immortal soul that would go somewhere when she died, and Jesus gave her the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need to do. But drop down with me to verse number 31. In verse 31, Jesus uses this opportunity to try to explain a spiritual truth to His disciples. You see that? The woman's gone away and now His disciples come to Him. "Lord, why are you bothering with this lowly Samaritan woman?" And the Lord's about to tell them why. Look at verse 31. "In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, 'Master, eat.' And He said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that ye know not of.' Therefore said the disciples one to another, 'Hath any man brought Him aught to eat?' Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." I want to preach a message this morning I've entitled, "Just the Right Look." Father in heaven, how we thank you today for this incredible passage before us. And how we thank you, Lord, that you were attempting in this passage to refocus the look, the vision, the sight of your disciples, that they would acquire just the right look in order to save souls for the kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts and speak to souls this morning through the preached word of God. Your Holy Spirit would give us just the right look, O God. We need the right look, O Lord, in these final days of this dispensation. As Sister Phyllis said this morning, there are souls perishing all around us in this area. It's cold, it's dark outside, and the time is near, O God. Lord, we need to reap a great harvest in these final days, and we can't do that, not without your Holy Spirit, and not without just the right look. So we ask you to bless your word this morning, O God, and teach us what meaneth these things. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, I received a very sad phone call one day when we were on the mission field back in the 90s out in Colorado to the Ute tribe. A gal that would come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every service, and she would sit right in the front pew, and she held her Bible, she'd sing the songs, and she'd praise the Lord. She loved the Lord, and she called me and said, "Pastor, I'm not coming back to church." And I said, "Well, what seems to be the problem, sister? We love you. We don't want you to leave us." And she said, "Well, I've lost my vision. I've lost my desire to serve Jesus." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Let my wife come and pray with you." And she said, "No, I've made up my mind. I'm going to watch the televangelists on Sunday morning and stay home." I said, "Sister, you can do that, but it's not God's will." How sad that she had lost the right look. You've got to have the right look if you're going to serve Jesus Christ, beloved. Listen carefully here. In the fourth chapter of John, the Lord tells his disciples how much he delighted in doing the Father's will in order to excite them to diligence in the work that they had to do. And folks, the work that they had to do was to preach the gospel and spread the kingdom of the Messiah worldwide. Amen? Listen, this work he compares to a great harvest in verse 35. It's harvest time, folks, and we've got to roll up our sleeves and get involved in harvest work. The gathering in of the fruits of the earth. That is that all nations of the world must be harvested by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beloved, there's a great, great harvest waiting to be reaped today. And the Lord Jesus is giving us what I call a formula for its success. And here in these verses, this formula will enable us to reap that great harvest by developing just the right look. Amen? Just the right look. I want to give you five things concerning just the right look, and I'll be done. The first is this. In order to have just the right look, the Lord tells his disciples that they need to look up. They need to look up. Look with me at verse 35. We read, words in red. Who's speaking? Jesus Christ. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields." Jesus says, get your eyes off of yourself, get your eyes off of this world, and look up to heaven. Look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith. If you want to have just the right look, church, this morning, you're going to have to first look up. We're going to have to become heavenly minded. We're going to have to develop the mind of Christ. What did he just do? He won the Samaritan woman to himself. And he says, that's how I want you to look. I want you to look for souls. And by doing so, you have to be looking up. He says, if you're looking unto me, you'll be able to win souls to me. Folks, the problem today, I'm convinced, with the church of Jesus Christ, is folks are saved, they're on the way to heaven, but they got their eyes on the wrong things. They're not focused on the Lord Jesus. He says, you need to look up. I'm going up yonder to sit on my Father's right hand, and you need to look up to me, and I will lead you and guide you in the harvest field. Amen? Oh, it's so good to know that here, in verse 35, Jesus is attempting to get his disciples' eyes off of this world and the things of it. He's trying to show them that if they were ever to succeed in serving him, they would first have to become spiritually minded. That is, that the things that are eternal, invisible, would have to become more important to them than the things that are temporal and visible. Amen? Look up, Jesus says. You want the right look? You need to be looking up. Amen. When you look up, you're taking your eyes off of yourself. Man, I don't preach. Listen, he's saying, lift up your eyes, beloved. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment and hold your place in John's gospel. Colossians chapter 3. Watch what Paul says about looking up. I love this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Time out, church. Are you risen with Christ? If you're saved, you are risen with Christ. Look what he says. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, that's what you love, on things above, not on things on the earth. Why, Paul? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Wow! Paul says you need to look up and set your heart's affection upon things above. That's Jesus Christ. Woo-hoo. You do that and you'll have the right look. I guarantee you. Because you'll be looking at the right thing, the Lord Jesus. Amen? Listen now. We need to become heavenly minded first in order to have just the right look. Now, years ago, Bud Robinson was the well-known holiness preacher. Now, he was taken by some of the brethren to New York, and they showed him all around the big city, all the sights. Well, that night, in his prayer time, Robinson prayed, and I quote, "Lord, I thank thee for letting me see all the sights of New York, but I thank thee most of all that I didn't see anything that I wanted to." Amen. Listen, he said, "Yea, blessed is the man who can sit loose to the charms of this world, independent of them, because he doesn't want them." But Robinson, I don't agree with the holiness movement, you know that. But listen, he had his heart in the right place. He said, "I don't want anything that New York has to offer. all of the wild shenanigans of the city." He said, "I couldn't be bothered. I've got something much better, the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen? He had the right look. He was looking up in his prayer to the Lord. Beloved, if we're going to reap this great harvest, we'll first have to look up in order to get the right look. But something else. He tells them, in order to get just the right look, they'll have to look out. They'll have to look out. Go back to verse 35 again. John 4, verse 35. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields." Did you see what Jesus just told them? In step number 2 for getting just the right look, he tells them to look out. You know what took problem with too many of God's people is today? They're looking inward. "Oh, my four walls and my little life, and I am so content." No, look out from yourself to the fields. They're white under harvest. Jesus tells them here, people. He's pointing them to the multitudes who were now approaching him and his disciples. How do I know that? I'm going to show you in a minute. Listen, he says, "Look at all these souls, these Samaritan souls, coming out of the town through the fields, ready to receive the gospel." Say, "Pastor, how do you know they were coming through the wheat field?" I'll show you. Look at verse 28. This is incredible. You got to read between the lines in the Word of God. In verse 28, "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city," Samaria, "and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, the Messiah?" Look, drop down to verse 40. "So when the Samaritans were come unto him," Jesus, "they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. Now, folks, listen. They're coming to Jesus Christ, and he says, look, in verse 35, look what he says. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes," that's looking up, "and look on the fields," that's looking out. Listen, he's telling them to look on the wheat field because all of the citizens of Samaria were coming through the fields to meet Jesus. You see it now? It's clear. There's a great host, a great multitude of people coming out of the city to hear Jesus speak because the woman told them about Jesus. He says, look, here they come. He's not talking about the wheat harvest, folks. He's talking about the precious souls to be harvested for the kingdom that were now approaching them. Oh, this is so good. Look on the fields. Look outward to those who need me. Proverbs chapter 10. Flip back. Hold your place again in John. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Look at this verse. This is powerful stuff. In Proverbs chapter 10, look at this. Verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Did you see that? Look at verse 5 again. He that gathereth. Gathers what? The Bible is spiritual, folks. He's talking about souls for the kingdom. Look at it, verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is what? A wise son. A wise son, a wise daughter. That's a wise person who seeks to gather in souls for the kingdom of God while it is called summer, reaping time. Winter's coming, folks, when no man worketh. Oh yeah, the tribulation period and all that. Listen very carefully, folks. In John chapter 4, Jesus is trying to get his disciples to look up to him and to look out to those who need him. Okay? There was a movie I saw a few years ago called End of the Harvest. Anybody seen that? David White was the star. End of the Harvest. All through the movie, David White, he's a born-again Christian. He's a Christian actor. He only makes Christian movies. Well, David White plays this college student. And he's battling with these atheist professor and students at the college who believe the theory of evolution. And of course, he's trying to teach them about creationism, right? And all through the movie, he's having this repetitive dream. He'll go to sleep at night and he'll dream. And in his dream, he'd see this old man. And he's out there in the wheat field. And he's got a hoe. And he's harvesting the wheat. And David White is standing in the field watching the man. The man is coming closer and closer to David White with every step he takes. And then he dreamed the next night. Here comes the old man harvesting the wheat, closer and closer to David. Then finally, one night, he dreams the dream, and the old man comes within 10 feet. And he comes right up to David White, and he looks in his eyes, and he takes the hoe, and he puts it into David's hands. And all he says is, "Now it's your turn." And the old man walked away. And David White said, "That was the Lord telling me that I need to get busy reaping the harvest." Amen? Oh, what a great picture we have before us in this movie, End of the Harvest. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see that movie. Rent it. We need to be like that old man. He was looking out on the fields, and he was reaping a great harvest. He handed the hoe to David White and said, "Now it's your turn." Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's our turn. It's our generation. This is our time to shine for Jesus Christ. Amen? Now listen, if we're going to have just the right look, we're going to have to look out. We're going to have to look up. But thirdly, Jesus tells them to have just the right look, they need to look quick. We need to look quick, folks. Look at verse 35 again. "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You know what he's telling them? He's telling them, boys, act quick. Boys, go out there and win these souls to me quickly. Don't delay, don't put it off, don't postpone it. Do it today. Do it now. I love that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, I believe it is. "Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is time to get saved." Amen? Don't put it off. Beloved, there's only a short window of opportunity for you and I to reach our generation. We don't have... Shirley MacLaine's wrong. There's no coming back. Okay? You get one life to serve him. Listen carefully. Here, in verse 35... the Lord is pressing the urgency of the hour of the harvest. He's attempting to awaken his disciples to the great need to be busy about the Father's business. He's saying, stop procrastinating. He's saying, stop delaying. He's saying, stop making excuses and get busy winning souls. That's what he's saying. Amen. He's saying, look quick. Because you don't have much time. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, we don't have much time. Amen? He's coming back. and he's coming quickly. We need to make every day count for Jesus. I'm convinced. There's no time to waste. Listen, in 1527, about 500 years ago, the Protestant reformer, Leonard Kaiser, was being burned at the stake for sharing his faith, the gospel. And when they were tying his hands and feet to the stake, he looked at the great crowd and exclaimed, "Behold the harvest, O Master! Send forth thy laborers to reap." Wow! He was praying for the very people who were watching him be burned alive, being martyred for his faith. 1527, that's what he said. He prayed, "Lord, Master, send forth laborers for all these in your field." John chapter 15, quickly, look at John chapter 15. Oh, this is so good. In John chapter 15, look with me at verse 16. Words in red. Jesus says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." For what, Lord? "That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Listen carefully, folks. Jesus did not say that ye should sit and watch the television. He did not say that you should procrastinate, put it off, and wait for a nicer day. Jesus said that ye should go and bring forth fruit unto me. And that fruit is the precious souls of the harvest. Listen, J. Hudson Taylor, the great missionaries, wrote in his autobiography entitled China's Millions. That was Hudson Taylor's autobiography entitled China's Millions. I love it. Of the bitter hardships he told of that he and fellow missionary W.C. Burns experienced during his early days on the mainland China. The chapter closes with the account of a remarkable incident. After they had preached the gospel in a city called Ningpo, one of the natives listening said, "Mr. Taylor, sir, I have long sought for this truth. I and my father before me, I have found no rest in Confucianism, Buddhism, or Taoism. But now at last I do find rest in what I have heard today of your Savior. Therefore I do now believe and receive Jesus Christ as my Savior." A few days later, the young man asked Hudson Taylor how long these glad tidings had been known in England, the gospel. When he was told it was some hundreds of years, the native cried, "What? Is it true, Mr. Taylor, that your people have known about Jesus for so long a time and only just now sent you to tell us?" "My father searched his whole life for this truth and died without finding it." "Why did you not come sooner?" He said, "Why did you not come sooner?" Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, we need to look quick because there's no time to waste. Oh, folks, I'm so glad that we can have just the right look as we look quickly. But fourthly, he tells them something else. If they're going to have just the right look, they're going to have to look at the wages. Amen? They're going to have to look at the wages. Look at verse 36. Back in John chapter 4, look at verse 36. "And he that reapeth receiveth wages." See that? What wages, Lord? What? Paycheck? How much? How much an hour? No. "And gathereth fruit unto life eternal." Beloved, listen very carefully to what Jesus tells them here in verse 36. Yes, there are rewards for all those who faithfully work in the Master's harvest field. That's true. But listen, watch this. The salary which Jesus is talking about that we will receive by working in the fields is explained in the next words. Verse 36, "We gather fruit unto life eternal." Now, folks, don't get confused. He's not saying you'll get eternal life if you serve me in my harvest field. He's saying those who you win to me will get eternal life. You see that? Look at the wording. "He that reapeth, receiveth wages, and gathereth," something you get, "fruit unto life eternal." The folks that they're gathering were not saved. They're getting saved by the preached gospel. You see it? Now, folks, listen carefully. souls gathered to the Savior are fruit, good fruit, and these precious souls are themselves the eternal wages and rewards of the laborers. Did you hear what I said? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, don't turn there. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It's like this. Solomon says in Proverbs 11, 30, you who win souls to Jesus Christ, you've got a great tree growing in your backyard. It's got apples, it's got pears, it's got oranges, it's got cherries, it's got all manner of fruit on one tree. Why? Look at it. The verse says, it's a tree of life. I don't know about you, but I want my tree to be full of glorious fruits for the Lord. Amen? Oh, that's so good. Then go to Daniel quickly. Hold your place in John again. Daniel chapter 12. How I love this verse. Doctrinally speaking of the elect nation, but spiritually speaking of you and I who will work in the master's field. Look at it, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many, oh, I like that. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise, seems like we saw that word before, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Do you want to shine for Jesus Christ forever and ever? He says you can by turning many to righteousness. How do you do that? You say, I'm so glad you asked. Go soul winning. Let me tell you about Jesus, my Savior. Let me tell you about a man who can change your life forever. You'll shine like stars in the sky forever. And verse 2 says, many shall awake. That's a resurrection taking place. Some do everlasting life. Yeah, like those who you win to Jesus. See that? So that's a powerful, powerful verses. The wages he gives will shine forever. From the life of Reverend Samuel Thornton, I recently read there was a very old man in the town of Watton whom Mr. Thornton, the preacher, had in vain urged to come to the Savior over and over again. One day, the old man took ill. He was bedridden on his deathbed. Even to the point of death, Mr. Thornton went to his cottage, asked to see the man. The old man, hearing Thornton's voice, screamed, "Go away, preacher! I don't want you here!" The next day, Reverend Thornton came again to his door, knocking and asked to see him. "Go away, I won't see you," was his same answer. For 21 days, successively, the Reverend Thornton came to the old man's cottage, knocking on the door, asking to see him. He received the same answer for 21 days, "Go away." But on the 22nd day, his perseverance paid off. He was permitted to enter the room of the dying sufferer, to open the Bible, to pray at his bedside, and finally, to lead him to Jesus Christ for salvation. Miraculously, the old man recovered from his illness. He didn't die. He became one of the most faithful church members Reverend Samuel Thornton ever had. Amen. Amen. Why? Because he understood the wages of He looked at the wages, which was life eternal, for the old man. He didn't die. The Lord healed him. Folks, listen. We need to look up. We need to look quick. We need to look at the wages. Amen? And we need to look out at the harvest field. I'm so thankful that we can. But I see one more look for just the right look. Finally, he tells them to look at their great employer. Look at verse 36 again. He wants them to look at the great employer of the field. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Now, folks, notice the wording in verse 38. Who's speaking in verse 38, words in red? Jesus Christ. And he said, I sent you. You know why? He's the great employer. He's the great commissioner. He's the master of the field who sends his laborers to work in those fields. Now listen carefully. Here's the good news. Not only does Jesus Christ employ us by sending us into the field, but in verse 38, notice, he also works with us. He also works with us. Now, look at verse 36. Look at verse 36. He says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. What's the next word?
Together.
Together. Together. Folks, listen to me. You are a co-laborer with God. You work with God. He works with you. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, holding your place in John, chapter 3. Look at verse 6. This is so good. I love this most of all. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. How could God do that if he wasn't working with Paul and Apollos? Answer, he was. 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth anything, but God, there's something, that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, we're co-laborers together in the field, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers, what's the next word? There's that word again, together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. He says, you work with God. When you go into the field, God is with you. God goes before you. God prepares the way. Oh, this is so good. I am so glad that our great employer not only sends us, but he holds us by the hand going with us. You know that you're indestructible as long as God is with you? You are indestructible. Till he's done. And he's not done. Amen. Galatians 6:8 says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Listen to me. He's not saying that you will get life everlasting if you sow to the Spirit. You've already got it. He's saying you'll reap life everlasting in those you win to Jesus Christ. This is so good. Listen, and then he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Folks, listen to me. Too many of God's people today are passed out. They're asleep. They're spiritually drunk and they're not working in the fields. How we need to reap the harvest, Spurgeon said. When the Spartans marched into battle, they advanced with cheerful songs, willing to fight for their great king. But when the Persians entered the conflict, you could hear, as the regiments came in, the cracking of bullwhips by which the officers drove the fearful Persians into the fight. So no wonder that just a few hundred Spartans were more than a match for the many thousands of Persians. In fact, the Spartans, if you know history, were like lions in the midst of sheep. They destroyed the Persians. Listen, why? Because they loved their king for whom they fought. They fought like men because they truly loved their king. Folks, when you truly love the king, you're going to work for him without fear. You're going to go forth into the harvest field and you're going to reap a great harvest. I've got good news this morning. Beloved, we must labor for the king, for he is the king of kings. While there is still time, because it's coming a night when no man worketh. And it's coming quickly, folks. My message today is just the right look. First, do you have it? Do you have just the right look? If so, you'll be looking up, being spiritually minded. If so, you'll be looking out, seeing the multitudes needing salvation. If so, you'll be looking quick, realizing the urgency of the hour. If so, you'll be looking at the wages, eternal souls for the kingdom. If so, you'll be looking at the great employer, understanding that Jesus goes with you. Oh, folks, this is so good. And I'm so thankful that we can be laborers in the harvest field of the Lord. Let me give you this in closing, and I'll be done. A preacher once said, we should aim to be too active to stagnate, too busy to freeze. We should be like Cromwell, who not only struck when the iron was hot, but made the iron hot by striking. We should be like the missionary who said, if there be true happiness on earth, it is only found in laboring in the service of Jesus Christ. People, do you want true happiness? Get busy for Jesus. You know, the most happy people on earth are those who live a sacrificial life for others, for the King's sake. That's the most happy people on earth. Selfish, stingy, prideful people, they're miserable. That's why they trade spouses in Hollywood like this, put on a new pair of shoes. Because they're miserable inside. They don't know anything of what I'm speaking today, but you do. But let's get busy laboring in the great harvest, for we serve the King of Kings. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for just the right look. Lord, how we thank you that you showed your disciples five specific truths concerning the look that they needed to have. And Lord, as we develop these five looks, indeed, Lord, we will reap a great harvest. You promised us that we would. I thank you, Lord, that all of the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God the Father. We love you today, Lord, and my prayer for this church is that each and every one of us would roll up our sleeves spiritually and get busy in the harvest field. Lord, the laborers are so few. In another place you said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his field. That's our prayer this morning, Lord. And let it begin with us at KJV Bible Baptist Church in Hooksett, New Hampshire. Let us go into the fields valiantly fighting for the King, fighting the devil in the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing souls into the kingdom of God. Lord, we will be thankful that we did forever and ever. We thank you so much for the message today, for the encouragement from your word to get busy for Jesus. In his holy name we pray, and the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks.